Hello, everybody. I've scheduled for today some discussion on Chametz She'avara Lava Pesach. Okay, what's the status of Chametz that was owned by a Jew during Pesach? Okay, so Chametz we paskin is Asur B'Hana'ah. We may not derive benefit from Chametz. Okay. The benchmark of whether something can be that we can have benefit from something or not, the benchmark is usually one of two places, and they both involve touching. Okay. Right? They both involve the word kadosh. The benchmark is, can a man give this to a woman and theoretically mekadesh her with it? Or can you make it hekdesh? Right? The second one is even a tougher benchmark, but I'll discuss that another time. But the thing is that if a man gives a woman $1,000 worth of chametz on Chol HaMoed Pesach and says, Hare et mekadeshes li the Ochel Zu Kedas Moshe Yisrael, it's not Mekudeshes because he hasn't given her anything. Okay, you got that? Right? That's true about anything that's also Bahana. If he gives her Kilaya Kerem, he gives her Petach Hamor, he gives her Sa'ar Nazir, he gives her, Basav Cholov, whatever he gives her. If it's not something that doesn't, also Bahana, it doesn't have value. Okay, clear? However, chametz does not grab hold of its monetary value. What I mean by that's the lashon the Gemara gives. All right. Okay.
Someone is not muted.
Okay. Okay. So to be tofes damim means that if you did sell the thing, is the sale considered a real sale? The question is, if someone illegally sold chametz during Pesach, he sold $1,000 worth of chametz, and with that money he bought a ring. Can you mekadesh the woman with that ring? The answer is yes. That is mekadesh, because chametz does not grab onto its value. Okay, be that as it may, the question we have to approach here is this a Torah prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition? And we'll see that there's a big nafkamina between those two. Right? A lot of the things we do when challenging certain areas of halacha is to try to establish whether the thing we're challenging, the thing we're approaching, is a Torah law or a rabbinic law. If counting the Omer Bizman Hazeh is a Torah law, then you want to wait. You want to wait till it's Ben HaShemashos. You want to wait, sorry, well beyond Ben HaShemashos. You want to wait till it's nightfall. If Sfiras Omer is a rabbinic law, okay, you can count a little earlier. It's okay. It's rabbinic, right? If Chametz She'avara Lava Pesach is a Torah law, then we really have to go through every turnover, every stone, to make sure that what I'm buying wasn't owned by a Jew, and which is not an easy thing in America today, because a lot of the major distributors from which all the chains buy, distributors are owned, distribution, these huge, huge companies are owned by Jews. A lot of them are owned by Jews or have Jewish CEOs. So if it's a Torah law, we have to turn over every stone. Okay. So
it's again, same person.
the what is at stake? What's the difference? How do we know? How do we know whether it's a Torah law or a rabbinic law? So that's what we have to do, is check on our sources. Okay. To start with, let's turn to page 3. Okay, there's a Mishnah on page 3. The Mishnah says, everyone see it? Camille, you sent it out? Okay. The Mishnah on page 3 says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bodkin or Arba'asar, Uba Arba'asar Shachris, Ubisha Sabir. The Yehuda says that L'chatchila was supposed to check, let's say this, you know, Thursday night before Pesach this year, then again check Friday morning, right? And again check on Friday morning, just before you're about to do the...
It's from Howard. He unmuted himself, and there's an echo coming through.
Okay. All right, So Rabbi Yehuda says, the chatchila, we have to check three times. One, the night of Bedikas Chametz. One, the morning, when we first get up. And one, just before we're about to burn everything. You don't recognize that because we don't pass in this way. The Chachamim Omrim. No, we just have to check the 14th, the night of the 14th. We did this, you know, Thursday night before Pesach. Lo Badaka or Arba'asar, says the Mishnah. But what happens if someone didn't check that night? Yivdok Barba'asar. Check on the 14th. Okay. When on the 14th? It doesn't say. Check sometime on the 14th. Lo Badak Barba'asar. If he didn't check on the 14th, Yivdok Besoch HaMoed. Now, what would you say is the pshat of those three words? If he didn't check at night, check on the, during the day, on Erev Pesach. If he didn't check on the 14th, he should check Besoch HaMoed. Maze.
Kol HaMoed?
Kol HaMoed, yes. Not Yontif, because Yontif, even though it's also to eat Chametz, the problem is, if you find chametz, you know what that chametz is on Yontif, right? Or Shabbos?
Hefker.
That's muktzah, isn't it?
Muktzah. It's muktzah machmas iser. Can't touch it. Can't burn it if you can't touch it. What's the halacha you're supposed to do with it? You're supposed to cover it. Make sure no one eats it. If you're afraid someone's going to eat it, then pick it up with a dustpan or something, you know, tzad, and throw it under the bed or something. But you can't burn it. You're not allowed to burn on Yontif for such a thing. You can burn on Yontif for food, for cooking, for heat, for light, but you can't burn for just destroying something. Okay, that would be a prohibited type of burning in cooking. So if this Mishnah means that if he didn't check on the 14th, he has to check during the Moed, right? What would be the reason? Camelia said Chol HaMoed correctly. What would be the reason for checking during Chol HaMoed? The best reason.
He might be over in Bal Yeroi by Matzah.
Right. So you're not over in Bal Yeroi by Matzah. And you might even eat it. So you don't eat it. Right? But then look how the Mishnah continues. It's not finished. Said, if you didn't check the night of the 14th, check during the day of the 14th. If you didn't check during the day of the 14th, check Besoch HaMoed. Here's the kicker. Lo Bodak Besoch HaMoed, Yivdok La'achar HaMoed. If you didn't check during the Moed, he should check even after the Moed. When is that?
Yisruchag.
Yisruchag. After the whole holiday. It doesn't mean after Chol HaMoed because you can't check on Yom Tov. After the whole holiday is over, what would be the reason for that? Chametz is no longer prohibited.
Maybe you didn't buy it back yet from the non-Jew?
Well, I didn't sell this because I didn't know it was there. I didn't check. I didn't do a bedik at all.
Then you can't eat it after.
Okay, good. And that's why you have to make another bedika. To be bodek and make sure to look for all that chametz that you didn't find, that you didn't look for and when you should have. What would be the halachic imperative of checking after the chag? Why?
The Yisr HaNoah must continue.
Because it must be that the Yisr HaNoah continues. All right, but we haven't proved from our Mishnah whether that Isur Hanah is an Isur Doraisa or Isur Drabana. It could be that I still have to check even if it's a Isur Drabana. Right? You agree?
No.
It's unlikely. Why would I create an Isur Drabana out of this? If holiday's over. What's the role of the rabbis? The rabbis are supposed to put a fence around the Torah. Don't make difficulties for the people. It's not, but if you really feel that you need to protect the Torah with this takana, this xera, this explanation, this fence. So if you really feel the need to do that, okay, do it. Okay. I explained this in Shul as the difference between Torah, which can make us all day. The Torah which can make a chefta shel iser, okay? A chefta shel iser means that a piece of pork, it's a woolen linen garment, right? It's something the Torah said is aser, so that even if I violate this thing by accident or by mistake, I should feel bad. I should need some kapara. I feel bad, even if it was misasek. I did a malacha on Shabbos. The Torah says malacha is forbidden, and I did it inadvertently by mistake, by accident, and I need to do some kapara for that. We bring a korban chatas for a shogeg, don't we? Right. But here is what I'm trying to say is that if you violate a derabbanan by mistake or by accident, you don't even need to feel bad. Right? You're still within the margins. Okay? If I violate the Rabbanan b'mezid, if I violate the Rabbanan with intent, then that needs kapara. In some cases, even more than violating the Torah. But I'm talking about violating the Rabbanan by accident, by mistake. That doesn't need kapara. And you don't necessarily need to feel bad about that. The Torah has been protected. The Torah hasn't been touched. Right? Rabbis know how to relax their positions. And they relax their positions in the face of someone who violates them by mistake or by accident. Now, back to our case. Rashi has a very, very unusual commentary to this Mishnah. And the commentary I'm going to try to project is proof that he holds that Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach is not a Torah prohibition. It's a rabbinic prohibition. Okay. Was everybody listening satisfied that the way Camellia translated B'socha Moed is correct? B'socha Moed means you should even check during Pesach. But that doesn't really prove anything because it could be that you have to check during Pesach because you don't want to eat it. You don't want to be, as Howard said, over in Balyar Rabbi Yamatze. But if Rashi, who explains, if you didn't check the night of the 14th, then check during the day of the 14th. And if you didn't check the day of the 14th, check B'socha Moed. Rashi explains that means during the Moed that you are burning the Chametz. And if you didn't burn, if you didn't find the Chametz during the time that you're burning the Chametz, then you have to make a Bedika Achar HaMoed, which is what? After the time that you're burning the chametz. Why would Rashi rip these words away from its pshat? Especially since earlier in this very Mishnah, the Mishnah had a different way of referring to the time of the burning. It says Shasa Biur. Why would we refer to B'socha Moed as the time of burning chametz? And Achar HaMoed after the time of burning chametz. Unless Rashi is purposely trying to avoid explaining this Mishnah as a reference to the idea of checking for chametz even after Pesach is over. Because if the whole thing is an Issur Drabanan, if chametz she'avar alav Pesach is an Issur Drabanan, the rabbi isn't going to force this person to make a bedika after Pesach is over. You get it? So most achronim, most rishonim who discuss it, hold that Rashi feels that chametz shavar over Pesach is an issur d'rabban, not an issur d'oraisa. So we don't have to turn over every stone to make sure that I know there's no Jewish ownership in this, and there's no Jewish distributorship in this, and there's no Jewish decision making in this, right?
But what does he mean that? Why? But instead, we're talking about besalt moed. Why is the time of burning called moed?
Yeah, the moed of burning. I don't know. You're right. It's such an blatant interpretation that flies in the face of the pshat of the words.
Unless he's drawing the distinction between Chag HaPesach and Chag HaMatzot, and that besalt moed is Chag HaPesach, you know, but that's the period devoted to Korban slaughtering.
Chag HaPesach begins on Erev Pesach. Erev Chag HaMatzos, you know. Right? Now, then comes take a look at page 4. In Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis. We just learned a Mishnah in Perek Aleph. Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis says, Chametz shel nachri, she'avar alav ha-pesach, mutar ba-hanah. Thank God, that's exactly what we do. We sell it to them, right? Chametz that belong to a goy during Pesach. So once Pesach is over, we can now have benefit from it, assuming that it's kosher.
Why would we think otherwise? Why does Meshach even have to bother with that?
I think because of what follows. Vishal Yisrael Asur B'Hanah. Right? This opening statement is very obvious. It's what follows afterwards. What if the Gentile is a guarantor and he's using your chametz as a guarantee for a loan? Right? What if you're using it as a guarantee for a loan? That was the next few Mishnayos after this. Here it says, in contrast, Vishal Yisrael, Asur B'Hanah. If a Jew owns chametz during Pesach, it's forbidden. Shnemar v'lo yira'el echos se'or. Right? Since he violated lo yira'el echos se'or, the rabbis made a knas. You see the words in the Kahati on page 4? It says, Konsu chachomim sheyeheach. Hachametz Asur B'Hanah af la'achar ha-pesach. Okay, there you have it. It's quite clear. It's a knas midrabanan. Okay. You see the notes at the end of the Kahati. It says, Kachu Perush HaMishnah Lefi Maskonas HaGemara. That is the explanation of our Mishnah according to the Gemara's conclusion. V'harav Mibar Tanura Mevi Od Perush. You've heard of the Bar Tanura, the parish of the Bar Tanura to Mishnayos. He's famous for sometimes interpreting a Mishnah. He interprets a Mishnah like the simple pshat of the Mishnah, but sometimes not like the maskan of the Gemara. I'd say, how dare anybody explain the Mishnah anything but the interpretation of the Gemara? Okay, they can ask the same question on the Rashbam, who interprets the Psukim and Torah sometimes against the Halacha. Okay, so how does the Bar Tanura explain it? It's Fidei Acheres B'Gemara. Shatam shebesof mishnasenu musav al hareisha. Right, chametz shel nachri shavar alav haPesach is mutar b'hanah shneimar v'lo yira'el lecha se'or. You get it? In other words, let me read the Mishnah quickly with me. Mishnah Beis. It says, Chametz shel nachri she'avar alav haPesach, mutar b'hanah. Chametz that's owned by a Gentile during Passover is mutar. Afterwards. V'shel Yisrael, asur b'hanah. Chametz that belongs to a Jew during Pesach is forbidden. What does the Shene'emar come to prove? The first statement or the second statement?
Well, he's saying the first statement.
So Bartanura wants to say this is coming to explain the first statement. Not why is the chametz of a Jew usher after Pesach? Why is the chametz of a goy not usher after Pesach? And there you have it, Shne'emar. V'lo yira'el l'choseor. You shouldn't see your seor on Pesach. But if you see a Gentile seor, it's okay. Now, when you sold me your chametz, amazingly, this is how I sell it for you. I sell it something called agav karka. I sell your movables together with a small parcel of real estate. You get it? So it's as if though the movables aren't even physically there, you know, in your... You can't pick up real estate, so you didn't have to pick up the chametz to acquire it, right? But he acquires it kiveyachol together with the place where it's standing. But I don't want to buy too much from you because then you will have to take off your mezuzahs, right? You put them back because it'll be like a Gentile who owns a house with mezuzahs up. Can't have that. And you'd have to toivel all your kalim because a Gentile would be owning your vessels. So you get the point, is that we have to fine-tune how the sale works. So you sell enough without selling too much. Okay. And again, the statement Shne'emar comes to teach not the seifa of the Mishnah, but the resha of the Mishnah. Why is the chametz of a guy in your house, Mutter? Because it only says your chametz you shouldn't see. Okay, turn with me to page 5, please. What's amazing is that this source in the Rambam I gave you two sources. One is Hilchos Chametz Matzah, and the other one is Hilchos Ma'achalos Asuros. The Rambam connects in one area of halacha all the forbidden foods. Okay, one of them, of course, being chametz on Pesach. Let's read it again. Source number, page 5. Chametz shavar alav haPesach, asur b'hanah la'olam. Chametz that was owned by a Jew during Pesach is forbidden forever, never becomes permitted. Forbidden during Pesach is forbidden after Pesach. V'dover zeh knasu midibrei sofrim. There you go. Now, it's interesting that the Rambam paskins like Rav Shimon. This is Rav Shimon's shita in the Gemara, because Rav Yehuda says that chametz shavar alav haPesach is asur min haTorah. Okay. Because there's a klal in the Gemara. Whenever Rav Shimon argues with Rav Yehuda, we always paskin like Rav Yehuda. Right, but here we pass the Zekar of Shimon. Right, because he defied the rabbis, so we make it aser for him afterwards. He didn't defy the rabbis; he defied the Torah by owning it. That's a violation of the Torah. How we treat the chametz that he owned—that's now a drabon. Even if he left it b'shkaga or ba'ones. Now, wait a second. Didn't he make a bittul? He made a bittul chametz, and then you found, I forgot to sell my chametz, or I forgot to instruct the person that I have chametz here. Someone sent me a box. I thought it was a box of wine. And after Pesach, I realized it was a box of scotch. Right? So if you say that was covered by the bittul, okay. You didn't own it. It was kafir da'ara during Pesach. And now you're reclaiming it. You made the hefker, and now you're reclaiming it. This is b'di'evit, b'di'evit. But that being said, in defense of the idea, when I sell your chametz, I say, I'm selling these specific areas in your house, but I'm selling all the chametz in your house, whether you know about it or not. Okay. Chametz shenisarev b'davar acher toch haPesach bein b'mino bein shelo b'mino harei ze oseh b'chol shehu. Okay. The chametz shel Yisrael shavar alav haPesach af al pi yishu oseh b'hanoye im nisarev bein b'mino bein shelo b'mino harei ze muter. This is an interesting thing. We all know that there are different rules about mixtures. Most mixtures are bottle b'shishim, right? In 60. Right? Truma needs 100. Kalayim and Orla needs 200. That's it. Okay. What happens if chametz shavar alav haPesach mixes with other foods? So let's see. It says Chametz Shel Yisrael Shavar Alav HaPesach Af Al Pi Shehu Asur B'Hanoya Im Nisarev Ben B'Mino Ben Shelo B'Mino Harei Ze Mutar La'Achlo Achar HaPesach. Okay.
There's no minimum volume? No ratio?
Mutar La'Achlo Achar HaPesach Shelo Kansu V'Amur Ela B'Chametz Atzmo Taruvas Mutar B'Achil La'Achar HaPesach. If it's a mixture, doesn't say how much.
Would that be true if the chametz was the majority?
No, not if it's a majority. It just has to be acharei rabim lahatos. Remember, the chametz itself, the actual chametz that mixes with something else, we know chametz asur b'mashu. Talking about chametz shavar alav haPesach that mixed with something else. Okay? Now, according to the Rambam's own Shita, the reason why when chametz mixes up with other foods on Pesach, that it's not bottle, now you have to turn to page 6, this Rambam has engendered a tremendous amount of ink and discussion. Okay. Copy didn't come out so clearly, but let's try to read it. It's halacha tes, imperik tes vav, halachas machalas asuros. Chametz bePesach, alfa pi shehu me isurei Torah, eino bechlolo seivim. All the general rules we've taught until now about how things get mixed, they don't generally apply to chametz on Pesach. For one, chametz during Pesach is not nullified at all. Okay. And he says, but chametz that mixes together with something that's not chametz on Pesach, it's never bottle, get this, lefi she'ena taruvas asuris la'olam shavilachar ha-pesach tiye kol taruvas muteris mikol shebeham, kimo shebeham. Ficha chose b'chol she. I hope you got that. Let me explain. There is something in halacha called the davar she'yesh lo matirin. Sound familiar? Davar she'yesh lo matirin. Which means that this thing has a way to make itself permitted. Okay. Davar she'yesh lo matirin. The best example of a davar she'yesh lo matirin would be muktzah on Yom Tov. You get it? A muktzah egg, an egg that's laid on Yom Tov, stays very muktzah during Yom Tov. Why? Because it's going to be non-muktzah after Yom Tov. right? So if this egg, which I see is laid on Yontif, mixes in with 60 other eggs, so now I have 61 eggs, one of them is Mukta. What do you think? Can I eat the 61 eggs on Yontif? Well, that's what the Rambam is saying. The answer is no. But let me sweeten the pot a little bit. If one of those, the bad egg wasn't Mukta, it was Treif. Mukta is only Asamid Rabbanon. Treif is Asamid Araisa. The Treif egg mixed in with 60 other eggs. Can I eat those eggs on Yontif?
You've said this before, yes, you can.
The answer is yes. You can eat all 61 of them on Yontif. First day of Yontif. All 61. Make it into a big cake and eat all 61 of them. But if a mukta egg mixed in with 60, you have to wait till after Yontif to eat all 61 of them. Explain?
It's more stringent when there's a time limitation.
Yeah, when this, I read Howard's lips and saying because it's a davishishlo matirin. There's a time restriction of how long it's staying forbidden. It is going to on its own naturally become permitted when after Yontif is over. So why eat even one of these 61 eggs during Yontif, even though statistically speaking it's very doubtful that you're getting the treif one, but why eat even one of these 61 eggs during Yontif, when I could just wait till after Yontif and then be sure, statistically speaking, that I'm never going to touch the Mukta one. Okay, that's called Dover Sheyesh L'Matir. So if the Rambam says that if one crumb of chametz mixes in with a whole room of matzah, the whole thing is prohibited. Why? Because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. So, Nu, tell me, what does that prove? How would this?
He's treating it like the mukta egg.
Yeah, he's treating it like the mukta egg. He's treating it as a davar sheyesh lo matirin, as something that will naturally become permitted after, you know, at a later time. How does that happen? If you hold that chametz shavah lo pesach is nisa doraisa, it wouldn't become mutter after Pesach. Right? That's the whole point. It's chametz shavah lo pesach. And then and if it's asa midoraisa, it stays as midoraisa. It can't be davar sheyesh lo matirin. It's not going to become mutter after Pesach. You have to give me a different reason why chametz is asur b'mashu. Okay? So we have proven from here, took us a long time to do this, we've proven from here that both Rashi and the Rambam hold that chametz shavah lo pesach is an Issa Drabanan. Okay.
So would they disagree that you need to do a Bedika after Pesach?
Well, Rashi explains the Mishnah that you only have to do it with Soch HaMoed Erev Pesach.
Right.
Paradoxically, so it could be that you should check afterwards in order to avoid violating a Drabanan.
Right, but then isn't that a Rabbanan on a Rabbanan?
Yeah, but the Rambam does paskin that you have to check after Pesach in the Mishnah Torah. It could be a trade Rabbanan, yeah, okay. Sometimes we make safeguards so as not to violate eating chicken with milk just as much as not eating beef with milk. Even though the second one is Torah, the first one is only Rabbanan. Okay. Now, we did earlier this year the mitzvah of Hashbisu, the mitzvah to be rid of chametz, right? And we asked then, may I mention the chinuch then, that said, what is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah to go out and destroy chametz, tashbisus, or mi batechen? Or is the mitzvah to have a house that is rid of chametz. There's a few nafkaminas, right? You saw a few nafkaminas last, back then, right? Is it the mitzvah kiyumis? Is it the mitzvah chiyuvis? Right? When something is a mitzvah chiyuvis, there's a general principle of ze keli vanvehu, hidr mitzvah, try to do it beautifully. Right? Chaim understands a Rashi and Baba Kama to teach that you don't have to have a beautiful beged of a talis, just beautiful tzitzis. Tefillin has to be beautiful. Tefillin is a mitzvah chiyuvis. But tzitzis is only a mitzvah chiyuvis if you're wearing four corners. The four corners have to, the garment doesn't have to be beautiful, but the tzitzis have to be beautiful. Now we buy a special garment that has a big box. It's a big, rectangle. It's, we wouldn't normally wear it, but okay, we make it so that we don't lose out this beautiful mitzvah. The point I'm trying to make is that if getting rid of chametz was a mitzvah chiyuvis, then there might be a din that you have to use the most beautiful vacuum cleaner. You have to make a hidr mitzvah. You have to, put it in a silver lined bag. I'm being facetious, of course, but no, it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. If you know, the burden is to know you didn't. But if you know you didn't bring chametz into a particular room, you don't have to check there. You don't have to bring in chametz to make sure that you check there. Right? Okay. So he says, Ein kasav beis Yosef, number one, Ein abadika tachlis ha-mitzvah, el abir. That's why we make the bracha. L'chein mevorchem al bir chametz. Not al bedikas chametz, it's al bir chametz. Prima gadim, she'im birech al bedikas chametz, lo yotza yidei chovasa. Well, say al bir chametz. Okay. He says, v'chol Yisrael mechuyavim b'zeh, shelo yehei echad, Sha'over beval yiroi ba'yimatzei. Nafkamina ladina delfize im bodek beiz o gimel batim shal beiz v'gimel b'nei adam. Is the mitzvah on the gavra or is the mitzvah on the house not to have chametz in it? There's a big nafkamina between the two. What if you get hired to be a bedikas chametz for five or six different apartments in your building? They pay you $500 for each apartment, right? And you're scrupulous about it. You want to make sure you do a good job. They're allowed to make a shliach to do those things, right? So the question is, do you make a separate bracha on each house? Or do you make one bracha on all of them together? So you can probably picture that this is probably a machlokes. And whenever there's a machlokes on these kind of issues, what do we end up doing? Suffik bracha slahakil, don't make the bracha. Right? Don't say the bracha at all. Okay, and that's how we pass it. If someone checks two or three houses, he doesn't make a bracha on each house. Right? Even though it's for a different person in each house. And that's why he says in the text, it says, Makom Shirogil. He says, Shabokim kol makom shirogil v'achnis sham chametz. Right? So you look at number three, it says, Makom shirogil. Kosav magen mishnah, v'das rambam delorim rinan safek drabanon l'kula b'bdikas chametz. Ki kol ikaro nitkan al ha-safek. You don't say suffik drabanan lakula. The whole point of bedikas chametz is a suffik. Did I bring chametz under there? Was there still leftover chametz here? By the time you get up to the night before Pesach, the family has probably cleaned everything up. By then. And in my house, there's always stuff to do until the last minute. But The whole bedikas chametz is by nature, by the definition, a suffix. Maybe I left chametz someplace here. Okay. All right, Chevra, time flies here, but next week I'm going to go back into our regularly scheduled material. But the rest of Mishpatim is a little sketchy.
Two weeks, because you have a wedding.
Yes. I have a wedding a week from tonight. I'm very sorry. And I'll keep everybody posted because after that, my son's wife is due soon and he may be in Israel, but we'll have to check. I'm going to try very much to be able to be back in time to do this class. And I wouldn't be able to give it from Israel because it's 4 o'clock in the morning now. Now it's 5 o'clock, right? All right. So, but if it is May, I will, of course, everything will go out in the announcements and the like. Okay, Chevra, I wish everybody a good night.